And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live. Who barely made it back to the Radio Ranch for the broadcast tonight. Been traveling today. Drove about 450 miles today. We thought I'd talk about that a little bit tonight. And hey, Passover's coming up, and there's lots of things happening out there. I thought we'd have a couple, talk about a couple of those things, and we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later. 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer to open up the program. That is always the best thing to do. And it's good to have that as a habit. And how do you get a good habit? You practice these things. Remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So we don't want to practice lawlessness, but we are to practice some things. Praying is one of those things. So let's do that. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given us, for the very air that we breathe, for the thoughts that you give us, for the choice that you give us. Thank you for calling us out of that darkness and allowing us to make the right choice to choose you. Thank you for allowing us to make the right choice to follow you and to do our best to turn away from sin and to return to you. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the cross, who bore the cross for our sins, for my sins. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Guide and direct my words and my thoughts tonight, I pray, and I ask. And Lord, your word says, if you ask, you shall receive. And so I ask, Lord, with the motives of love, with the motives of encouraging and exhorting your people, and stimulating them to love and good deeds. And that's my motive, Lord. That's why we're here at the Radio Ranch microphone, is to continue to encourage your people to love one another, to return to you, to make the right choice. That's my request, Lord. Guide my thoughts and my words to that end, and to the end that it glorifies you. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor that came before us, that built this, this ministry, this broadcast ministry, this CD and catalog and message ministry that we have, the prison ministry. Lord, thank you for that he built. That, Lord, that it was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that we know that that house, that building will stand. And we thank you for that. Assist us as we continue to build upon it, Lord, as we continue to branch out in new areas and to reach new people. But Lord, it's with your story. It's with your true gospel, and that has not changed. And it remains the same. And we thank you for that. We pray all this to your glory, the glory of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, today, March is wrapping up, and it's trying to go out like what they talk about, going out like a lion. I think that's May they talk about it, but we have had a beautiful couple days here, but there's rain and snow in the forecast, and some snow severe warnings up just north of us, up around Riverton, a couple hours away, and places like that. But hey, it's springtime in the Rockies, and that's what you have. I got to travel some today, and I'll try to talk about that. Maybe I can get back to that. Hopefully I'll remember to. But wanted to cover a couple things first. One, our Bible reading plan. We're up in Isaiah, and hopefully you're getting through it. I'll confess my sin to you. I'm not going to finish Isaiah today. I've got to try to get that caught up tomorrow. And tomorrow's reading bumps right into Jeremiah. And so if you miss a day or two, don't be so hard on yourself, but keep your Bible reading plan, highlight it so you know where you can go back. I've got mine highlighted. I know where I've got to go back and what I've got to read. I was reading some Isaiah yesterday. But a couple things that I've got highlighted just in today's reading, Isaiah 62 through 66, and I'm looking forward to reading it again, but in Isaiah 62, I've got in verse 2 highlighted, "And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate." See, in the Old Testament, they were called Israelites, or they were called Hebrews, or they were called children of Abraham. And all those things are still true for the Christian today. They're still true for you and me. They are. But it says that you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. And so, the followers of God will not continue in that old name. They will be known. It says you will be called by a new name. You know, when I married my wife, she's called by a new name. When I've given my daughters in marriage, they are now called by a new name, a different name. When the bridegroom came and he went to the cross, he taught the disciples, the apostles, and he walked and talked with them for 3 years. But when he went to the cross, when the bridegroom came and gave his life willingly, paid the price, fulfilled the law, didn't abolish it, but fulfilled it, well, then his people can be called by a new name. It's like the marriage. Do you see how that, why marriage is so important, and how that ties in what we understand about marriage today, that it is to be between one man and one woman, that it is to be forever, that it is not to be entered into lightly. That all comes from the teachings of marriage from the Word. And just as this Isaiah 62 tells us, you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You shall call his name Jesus. And he was known as Jesus Christ. And his followers are known as the followers of Jesus Christ. We're not Jesuites. We're not called Hebrew anymore. We're not called Israelites anymore. We're not called to the world the children of Abraham, even though that's what we are. We are called Christians. That's that new name. And so when you read your Bible, nuggets like this jump out. Isaiah 62, wow, that's a 7-carat nugget to read and to see, and then to remember, oh yeah, I've read that before, but that's that new name. That's that new name. And just like our wives or our daughters take on a new name when they get married, well, so have his people. His people have taken on a new name. And we got that new name when the bridegroom came. When the bridegroom came. Anyway, that's just kind of for free. So hopefully you're reading your Bible, Isaiah 62 through 66. And that wraps up Isaiah. It does. And if you're up with it, you've read it. And then we start Jeremiah tomorrow. And what a glory that's going to be. And starting Jeremiah tomorrow. And then that finishes out March. And we're going to roll into a new Bible reading plan. So hopefully you're keeping up with that. Or at least have it to where you can get back to it. Well, today is March 30th. We are already, as we end up the month of March on our regular calendar, we have begun the new year, the new solar year of 2017. And so that is the month of Abib. That's the beginning of the year. The Bible tells us that, let's see if I've got the scripture here. I think I do. Yes, Leviticus 23:5. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And so that is fast approaching. That is approaching this Sunday. And so this Sunday evening will be the Passover, April 2nd. And the way it falls on our calendar, it's always April 2nd. Just the day of the week changes. And so we encourage you to join us at the LaPorte Church of Christ Sunday evening at the twilight. We're going to gather there and have a Passover meal and have fellowship among the brethren. And the women are working on that. They're taking care of all the details for that. But we're going to meet about 5:30 and have a nice supper and time of fellowship. And at 7 o'clock p.m., 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Central, and that's 9 p.m. Eastern, we will have a live Passover service from the church. Going to do an hour-long service. I've been working with John, and he's picking out a couple songs, and he's working on he has a message. And so I encourage you to join us Sunday evening, April 2nd, at the church. You're welcome to come in person. If you can do that, if you would give us a call and let us know, make sure we have enough food for everybody. And it's always nice to know if we're going to have visitors. But we'd love to have you. And so if you want to come and have fellowship with us and be with us in person, you're welcome to. If you can't be there in person, we will have the live video streaming of the Passover services Sunday night, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And the Passover, it is to be an everlasting remembrance throughout our generations. And so we read back even in Deuteronomy 16, observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. And he did. That is, praise the Lord, that's one of the benefits, one of the blessings, one of the things that he did for his people. Why? Because he loves us and because we needed saving. And he did. That is what the Passover is. It is the remembrance that God saved his people. In Exodus 12:23, way back when it first happened, we can read. Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Now, that was then. We still celebrate the Passover today. We recognize it. We remember it. And we will partake of communion and have a Passover message. And so we will have a Passover service and a Passover recognition. We will not do as it says here. We will not slaughter a lamb and take the blood and physically put it on the doorpost and the lintel. We don't do that because now we understand that Christ is our Passover. And we are to remember that. And that is one of the things that we are to do for Passover, is that we remember that now, today, Christ is our Passover. And so, just as in the days of old, the blood had to be applied to the door and the lintel. They could, in that day, if all they did was believe, well, I believe that the Lord's going to come, and I believe he'll deliver his people. I believe it'll in it. But see, they still had to do. Now, that work in itself was not a work unto righteousness. It was a work of obedience. God had said, this is what you do. And you can look at it as a type of a test. Now, God offered to save his people in Egypt. He had sent the plagues before him. He had sent the darkness on the land, except there was light in the land of Goshen over where the Israelites were. And so the people knew. Oh, they believed. And I think it was a type of obedience, a test of obedience, a test of faith, if you will. And I hope. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And I'm a father. And I have children. I have some children that have children now. I am blessed. And I hope, when I think of that story, I hope that if I would have been there, that I would have had the faith in obeying what God said to do. And what he said to do was take a lamb and slaughter it and boil it, and there was a process there, and take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel, and the death angel will pass over you. Now, I love my firstborn son. I love all my children. But I hope that I would have had that faith to not only believe, but to obey, to be a doer of what they were told to do and not a believer only. And see, that certainly applies to our Christianity today. Oh, we believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And many people out there do. Many people believe, but that's as far as they go. They believe. Well, if you believe the electricity is flowing in the socket and there's a good light in the outlet up top, if you believe that and it's dark, then you will act accordingly. You won't walk into a dark room. You'll stop, reach over, and flip the light switch because you believe the electricity's on. You believe the light bulb will work, and so you act according to your belief. What is different in Christianity? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he came to save us from our sins and from our sickness, then do you live your life that way? He's told us to forgive. So do you forgive? Or do you just believe that Jesus forgave us? And selectively believe some parts of the Bible and not all of it. We read in Matthew last night. Let me flip over there. I think I can flip right over to it real quick. But we read in Matthew about forgiving. And it's Matthew 6. Here it is. For if you forgive others, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, praise the Lord. I have much to be forgiven of. And I am thankful that God called me out of that sin, and he called me into that watery grave of baptism and repentance and forgiveness. And when I read this here, it says, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So that's about as plain as it gets. So I believe that Jesus is the Christ, but I also have to forgive others. It says in verse 15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. But I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he says, well, if you believe me, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is one of his commandments. Just one. Just one. But it's one we need to address, because there is too much unforgiveness out there. Now, that doesn't mean you forget the robber. You forgive the rapist. You forgive the murderer. That type thing. There, God's vengeance is still there. His justice is still there. But among the brethren, among the church, this is right after the Lord's Prayer. This could have been very easily added to the Lord's Prayer. It probably should have been. Lord, help me to forgive so that you can forgive me. Because he says, if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Even if you believe. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then act accordingly. Do what his Bible says to do. Obey what his Bible says to do. Oh, for salvation? Oh, that's works. Oh, you think you're going to obey and be good and get into heaven? That's not, no, not at all. But if you believe him, obey him. If you believe there's electricity in the wall and that the light switch is working, you're not going to walk into a dark room. You're going to act according to your belief. So if you believe, then act according to that belief. Well, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that when God led the children out of Israel after that Passover meal, and after he saved them, that they walked out and there were none feeble among them. See if I can find that scripture here. Let's see. We have a book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy and Calculating the Passover by Pastor Peters. If you're interested in it, it teaches on the 91st days, it teaches on the day beginning at noon, and it teaches on the Passover. And if you're not familiar with these subjects, if you'd like it, we ask for an $8 offering, but we'll mail it to you. You can read it at the website, Scriptures for America. And if you can't afford the book, then I'll send it to you for free. But it's a wealth of information. I encourage you to have it, to read it, and to study it. And if you believe it, apply it. It's as simple as that. If you believe it, apply it. There's a quote in here about, and I thought our pastor put it a lot better than I could. Here it is. And this is from the pastor. It's the conviction of this preacher, and that's Pastor Peters, that there are other benefits when the Passover is annually kept on the right day. One is health. The counterfeit system to God's kingdom is man's socialist health care offered in Satan's kingdom of the so-called New World Order. The health care does nothing in preventing ill health. The Bible clearly teaches us that ill health can come from not partaking of communion properly. And that's in 2 Corinthians 11:30. Let's just flip over and read that. Let's flip over. I think I can find that. 2 Corinthians 11:30. See if we got the right verse here. Let me see if I got that right. 2 Corinthians 11:30. Maybe that's 1 Corinthians. Because 2 Corinthians doesn't seem to apply. Maybe we have a 1 Corinthians that does. 11:30, yes. For this reason, well, verse 29 says, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." And so it's 1 Corinthians 11:30. And so that's right, that ill health can come, not all ill health does, but ill health can come from not partaking of Passover, of the communion meal. Communion is symbolic of the Passover meal and should be taken up by the Christian on Passover. And one more paragraph. He says, "Look at how weak and sickly Christians are today. Would it be possible to have a Christian gathering of a million Christians and not have one sickly, feeble, or weak in the assembly? The Bible tells us such was the case with the million-plus people who kept the Passover and came out of Egypt. Psalms 105:37 from the King James reads, 'He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the tribes.'" And so when the people partook of Passover, way back to keep the death angel away, way back in Egypt, there was health given to them. There was young and old, just like we have today. And it says, do you believe the word? Do you believe the word? This is the King James. This is the word. "There was not one feeble person among their tribes when he brought them forth." There was not one sick. So there was some health. There was a health benefit there. We read on, "How could this be? It would take a miracle for this to be. Something must have happened to those who kept the Passover. Obviously, they were blessed with health." And the Book of Jubilees 49:12 talks about the health promise of that. And if you have that, I encourage you to read it. That's Jubilees 49:12. And so we have the opportunity to start the year off right. Many people will have a New Year's resolution to quit smoking, or a New Year's resolution to lose some weight. And they say gym memberships are the highest ever in the month of January and February, and then they go back down to the same records as the rest of the year. And we as a people, we like to realize that sometimes things have to change. and we make that New Year's resolution. Well, we're in the new year right now. We're just a few days into it. We're fixing to be 14 days into it. We're going to observe the Passover. And so you have the opportunity to keep the Passover. And it is, look at it as entering into a covenant, like a marriage covenant or a job covenant. It is a covenant. It is a covenant that our God kept. Our God made it many years ago. Slaughter the lamb. Apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel, and I will pass over you. It is the same way today. When we apply the blood of the lamb. And how do we do that? How do we apply the blood of the lamb today? We believe his word. We obey his word. And we are born again of the water and the spirit. And we are clothed then with Christ when we are baptized with Jesus Christ. That is how we are known by that new name. That is how we contact the blood of Christ. When we share in the glory, when we share in the process of his death, symbolically through baptism, and we also can share in the glory of his resurrection. And so, yes, water regeneration, yes, water baptism, yes. An outward sign of an inward grace, no. An act of obedience, a work of obedience. Would you believe me if I showed you in the Bible, if I told you the Bible says now baptism does now save us? That's what it says. But I'm not going to tell you where it says that, but it says that. According to this, baptism does now save us. Not the washing away of dirt. No. No. So, Passover. It's coming up Sunday evening. We encourage you. We've diligently kept it since 2001, and the good Lord willing, we will continue to do that. Well, the phone lines are open. We've still got about 20 minutes left in the program. 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call. I wanted to share with you just a couple comments, some thoughts I had today. I got to travel a little bit today through three states. Got to drive through the heartland of America, some back roads, and I just was encouraged. I was driving on the interstate. I was driving off the interstate on some small roads, country roads, paved roads, dirt roads. Made a pretty good sized loop. And I just was encouraged. The people seem that I came in contact with were certainly friendly. Were certainly basking in God's blessings and not ashamed to say it. It was encouraging to drive across the heartland of America. And at times I had the radio on today and heard some local stations. And one thing that really encouraged me and put a smile on my face is I think it's Saturday in Kearney, Nebraska. And I didn't go through Kearney, but I heard the radio station. And Kearney, Nebraska is a little half of a dot on the map. But in Kearney, there's a church that recognizes that families struggle in trying to find fashionable clothes for their children, for their young girls. And so they're having a seminar and a little get-together, and they're going to share the gospel, and they're going to have a little conservative fashion show and be able to provide some solutions for parents and children, parents and their daughters, in dressing conservatively. Whether it's in school or church or whatever. And I didn't get the details, and we're not sponsoring it. I just heard it on the radio. But it seems like most of a lot of times we focus on the bad. We focus on, what the government's doing now, and what the EPA is doing, what the IRS is doing, and what Hezbollah is doing and what the Al-Qaeda is doing, and we sometimes forget to look at the good. Our job is not to point out all the bad all the time. Now, we certainly want to be aware of what the enemy is doing so we can guard ourselves, so we can protect ourselves. I brought a message a couple weeks ago about programming, and it was just a review of what I've learned from Pastor over the years, in that our enemy runs the media, and television programs are called programming for a reason, and they have slowly added their filth from divorce to language to nudity to just abomination upon abomination. They have added it into this television programming, and our people pay to bring it into their home. We pay a garbage man to come pick up the garbage and haul it away from us, because we see that for the stench and the rottenness that it is. But when we pay to have this cable programming, television, TV brought, this TV programming that is ungodly and evil programming produced by antichrists, filthy abominations, we pay to have that brought into our home, and then we sit and vegetate in front of that for hours and hours as a people. Now, I know that there are some that don't have cable TV, might have a VCR or DVD, but the majority of the problem is the commercials and the programming that goes into the programs that are out there, and it just continues. And so I brought that a couple Sundays ago. How can we have the mind of Christ when we're watching this trash? And that's a polite word for it. When we're watching this trash, day in and day out, hours on end. And the answer is, we can't. We can't have the mind of Christ if we're watching this filth all the time. And so, we read about communion. We said, a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And see, our Lord, and that's in 1 Corinthians 11:28, says a man must examine himself. See, I am not here to judge you, to judge you if you whether you watch TV or not, to judge you whether you forgive or not, to judge you whether you are a doer of the word or not. And Jesus himself said, I did not come to judge. Do you remember what he said after that? He said, the word judges. The word judges. And even in communion, a man is to examine himself. We have to look in that mirror. And I do that. I look in that mirror and I say, Richard, have you forgiven? Have you forgiven those that have wronged you? Those that have wronged you and spoke against you for no reason. Those that you have not harmed, that and there are those that have spoken against me, that have come against me, as they did our pastor, as they have John, as they have Jason, as they have others, for no reason. And I do my best to forgive them. That is what we are to do as Christians. We are to be different. I'm not supposed to be like the guy down at the gas station. I'm not supposed to be like the guy at the tire shop. I'm supposed to be different. We're supposed to forgive. You're wronged? But I was wronged. You don't know how I was wronged. So be wronged. Accept the wrong. And rejoice and forgive and store up treasures in heaven. I pulled the pastor's booklet, Rejoice Always. We also have that, and we are to do that. We are to rejoice always. The pastor wrote this when he lost his only begotten son. He says here, I will rejoice because my God wills that I rejoice and that you rejoice. I will rejoice, our pastor said, because that is my Father's will. See, he did more than believe in God's will. He lived his life accordingly. He set an example for us. I'll send you this book if you don't have it. Rejoice Always. There's no charge for it. I'll get it in an envelope and put a stamp on it and send it to you. Full of scripture verses reminds us to do that, to rejoice always. But we have to do more than believe. We have to act. We have to do. And it's a daily thing. You might say, well, you talked about this last month. Well, I'm probably going to, good Lord willing, talk about it next month. We are to judge ourselves. Our Lord lets us do that. He gives us that opportunity. See, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. And he offers his Holy Spirit to help us make the right choice. Well, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And if you want to call... I had another verse in Isaiah marked. Let me flip back to that. And it is Isaiah 53. Here it is. And it's an introduction to Jesus. It really is. It's one of the many prophecies. And I don't have my King James with me tonight. I have my New American Standard. So I want to read part of it. It's Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And fathers, if you have children, think about your children as I read this, as you hear these words. This describes Christ, Jesus Christ the man, the Son of God that came to save us from our sins. That said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the Jesus that said, do not think that I came to abolish the law but to fulfill. This is the Jesus that said, bear one another's burdens. Love your neighbor as yourself and fulfill that royal law. We read Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. And when you read through that he had no stately form or majesty. You see some shirts sometimes of Jesus as this big muscle man, as strength, and had, you know, the power to come off the cross and the power to overcome death, and it makes you think that, and it's good, but But the Bible says he had no stately form or majesty. He wasn't some Arnold, big muscle man. He wasn't handsome in the way we have been programmed by Hollywood to think of beauty, because the Bible says so. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Makes me think of when Saul was brought as king, way back in the Old Testament, when Samuel brought and anointed Saul. Remember, Saul was taller, head from shoulders up, he was taller than everyone else. And he was a good-looking man. The Bible describes that he, King Saul, had a stately form. King Saul had a type of a majesty. And King Saul had an appearance that people were attracted to him. King David did as well. But not Jesus. That's what our Bible says. He was despised. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. He was looked down upon. Our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Let us be careful that we don't look down at people that are trying to lead a godly life, and they're being attacked, maybe by the devil, maybe by evil thoughts, maybe by the spirits that go here and there. And oh, I know there's some out there that promote a no devil doctrine. They just don't believe their Bible. And if you have if you want to adhere to that no devil doctrine, just call me and we'll take you off the ministry, and I'll send you a Sharpie. I'll send you a Sharpie marker, and you can just mark about half your Bible out, at least half your New Testament, if you don't want to believe that there are these ungodly spirits in these times that his disciples didn't know what spirit they were of. If you don't want to believe those words of Jesus Christ, I'll send you a Sharpie. You can just mark them out of your Bible. You don't have to believe them. It's just a choice. It's just the Word of God. You're really either supposed to believe it all or not. I believe it all. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It says that's how they looked upon him. They looked upon him, and sometimes we do look upon people like God has turned their back on them, like they've sinned, and that's why they're being punished. That's why this affliction is coming upon them. It's not always that so. We just read Job this month. We talked about that with reading Job. Sometimes we don't have a full understanding when affliction comes on someone. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53 says, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him." The Lord was pleased to crush Jesus, putting him to grief. The Lord was pleased to crush Jesus, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. See, God had made the law, and the law is perfect, and the law stands. And there has to be a penalty for Seth, for sin. The wages of sin is death. And that's what God said, and Jesus said, "I'll pay that price." That's what this says. That's what this prophesied. The people then were on the other side of the cross. They I don't think they could fathom it. They couldn't understand it. We're on this side of the cross, and it's hard to comprehend at times. He poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. And that's what he did. He interceded. He was the go-between. He stood in the gap. He stood in our place. At this time of Passover, we are to remember that. Passover fast approaches. It is a time, as we read, to judge ourselves rightly, to forgive others, as Matthew 6 said, just as God has forgiven us. And I want to read that in 1 Corinthians as we're wrapping up here. No phone calls, but that's okay. I like reading the Word. And in 1 Corinthians, let me flip over there to 11. But a man, verse 28, but a man must examine himself. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, judge. We are to judge ourselves. We're not to judge each other. Don't judge me. That's not your job. Judge yourself. Because you can bet your boots that I judge myself. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And so if you come to that Passover, if you come to that communion, wiping your mouth, saying, I've done nothing wrong, well, you need to pray about that. Mentioned it last night on the prayer meeting. Our brother Steve brought a communion a while back, and he said, if you don't think you've done anything wrong, or if you can't remember what to confess, or if you've done anything wrong, if you sinned, just ask God to show you and tell you, and he will. And that is very true. If you will judge yourself rightly, if you will examine himself, it says, the things that you're doing, you can ask God, God, these things that I'm doing, is it pleasing to you? Is it helping me grow in my Christian walk? Is it helping me be the Christian warrior that I need to be? And if you ask, he'll tell you. Well, I got a minute for a phone call here. See who's on the call. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Good evening, Richard. Tom in Texas. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you doing?
Oh,
are you hanging in there?
Barely making it there, though. I mean, it's manna in the wandering, let's say.
That sometimes that's where we have to be. Sometimes it is.
At times also, I think, as far as I was listening, writing in the margins of our Bible, I mean, I read and study and live out mine. It's not about so much as writing in the margins. It's living in the margins.
It's living in the, and that's why I write in them, so I can read it later.
And everything I
Amen.
Do, you know what I do for a living, Richard? You know what I have to contend to? You know what I supplicate in my prayer requests and whatnot? I mean, don't write in the margins of your Bible. Live in them.
Amen.
You don't have to write your reminders. Every step you take, every breath you take, every, jot and tittle your fingers make.
Amen.
That's your margin.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And then you know what to offer up. Like the prayer of Jabez, O God of Israel, 1 Chronicles 4:10, O God of Israel, let, enlarge my territory that thine hand would always be deliver me.
Yes.
Be with me to deliver me from evil.
Yes.
It would no longer grieve me. And are we not, sore vexed of everything that grieves us? God delivers from this.
And we can cry out to him. And we can cry out to him when we have that. We can. There's nothing wrong with that.
Boy, in this piece you learn within these margins.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tom, we're out of time. Good talking to you. Hang in there, buddy. Keep the faith.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you all.
Tom, know that you're in our prayers, brother. You are.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. And remember, join us even before Passover. We'll get together, good Lord willing, Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. So we ask you to join us there. And we'll have the phone lines open again. But plan on joining us for Passover. And we do that. To all of you that are his, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and keep you. May his face and countenance shine upon you. May his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness be upon all those that believe and all those that are doers of the word. I'm going to go out with a song I like, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning.
can't be done by me and God. Ain't nobody gonna come between me and God. One day we'll live together where the angels trod, me and God. Early in the morning talking it over, me and God. Talking it over, me and God. You could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my father, he's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world and the rod, we're a team, me and God.
I am weak and he is strong, me and God. He forgives me when I'm wrong, me and God.
No, 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 no.